702.
WhatsApp us on 072 702 1702.
25 minutes to go before we get to 9 o'clock. As I said, very important conversation we're going to have with a spokesperson of the Department of Transport in Gauteng, and that is Theo Nkonki. Theo, good evening and thank you for joining us this evening, man. Theo?
It's good to be here.
Awesome stuff, man.
Thanks to the listeners as well.
Great stuff, mate. Thanks for being there. Look, the Gauteng Roads and Transport Department is initiating a forensic investigation into allegations of corruption reportedly taking place at licensing renewal centres. What is the story there? What's giving rise to your need for having to launch a forensic investigation?
Gajal, what has been happening is that while we were dealing with the back...
Theo?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we just keep on losing you. I don't know why. If you might just maybe just turn around a bit and then let's take it from there. You were saying?
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, sure.
All right, no, I was just saying that it's a story that's been bubbling under for quite some time, and it became much more pronounced during the time when we were dealing with the backlog, because on the onset of the problem, remember we introduced the online system as the sole system where people can book for their appointments, and there was an allegation that the reason why people were not getting booking slots was that our officials are working with the driving schools. And they are colluding, and they are blocking the whole, the slots that are available, and they give it to their friends who are in the diving schools, and there are transactions there. And as more as we investigated, there were more allegations about why, for instance, people would prioritize servicing people who are new license applicants than to service those who are renewing, because the renewal process is quite straightforward. Because of that, we had to look at the validity of those claims, and that's why we're in the process now of appointing a service provider that is going to help us get to the bottom of this. We are anticipating that by next year, early next year, maybe Feb next year, we should have appointed a forensic investigating company to look into all these allegations.
So, I mean, look, there's a lot, I guess, again, to unpack there, because, you know, one of the things that stands out for me about what you just said there is, again, looking at the driving schools and the role that they play. And, absolutely. You know, because of a lifetime ago, I had a lot of business interactions with driving schools, and it was almost a well-known factor that driving schools operate on the notion of you pay for 10 driving lessons and then obviously a little extra, let's call it, cream on the top for whoever your examiner is. And the general rule is just don't mess up in the yard when you finally take your driver's test. And you know, that sense of lived in, bred in corruption has been there for quite some time. I mean, is this something new to the Department of Transport in Gauteng, that there has been these ongoing allegations of corruption within the Department of Transport, especially when it comes to driving schools?
I think, Gajal, any allegation of corruption, you have to start at the beginning. You must remember NEC Jacob Mamabolo only took over this department in 2019, and he had never been engaged much with the DLTC part of things because he was sorting out the problems with the taxis. So when the allegations became much more louder, as it were, then he realized that actually, obviously, there's anecdotes. Everyone has anecdotes of this is what happened, this is what happened. But what we really need to do is to set up a proper process to systematically look at what is the problem. And that's why we need a professional.
Theo, yeah, you need a professional?
We need a professional company that deals with especially investigation to go to the bottom of it. Because, yes, it's true that one would have heard a lot of allegations. I have my own anecdotes as well. Mm. I come from Mpumalanga, and I know of a few stories from Mpumalanga of what's the corruption looking like. But until you systematically approach this corruption issue, you won't get to the bottom.
Yeah, again, your line is seemingly failing us there. So you're clear, but then it just cuts off suddenly. Look, one of the things that stands out for me is, as an example, when you go to a licensing department, I think also if you go to, say, for example, the Department of Home Affairs, and I know we're not talking Home Affairs here, but I'm just using this as an example of where people have to interact with the state. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be a bunch of young men standing outside, usually in jeans and t-shirts, that are willing to assist you with anything and everything, you know. They're the ones that have all the answers, how long it will take you to get a license, who they can take you to the office where you don't have to stand in the queue and this, that and the other stuff. I mean, that in itself is a clear sign and indication that corruption is quite frankly endemic under those circumstances, because the question is, why is it that everyone else is following a particular process and seemingly the legitimate process, the process that everyone else is supposed to follow, and then suddenly there is, I don't know, Theo that is standing outside the door, who is very happy and very keen to assist Gershwal in being able to get his license or expedite the process for getting his license. I mean, that in itself is not a very difficult process. And unfortunately, corruption is not the type of thing that is on paper. It's usually what you suspect and what you see. So how practically is this investigation going to take place? And B, it seems that the corruption that you speak of seems to be quite endemic and quite obvious.
You make quite a valid point. I mean, I would even use myself as an example. People find my number on the website of the department. Mm. And then they start offering you things for you to get their things pushed, you know, further up the queue. And that is a societal issue, unfortunately. Yeah. And it's endemic, as you say. But again, if you want to deal with corruption in general, you have to start with it where it relates to you. For instance, with us in transport, where we can deal with corruption in DLTC is where we are. And what we need to do is to set up a proper process for that, so that we don't also rely on anecdotes and stories. So we need to, that's why you have, for instance, the Zondo Commission that is currently taking place. It's not to say that the Zondo Commission is going to solve all the corruption problems or state capture.
Yeah. We just lost you there briefly. You said that the Zondo Commission is not going to solve all the issues surrounding corruption and state capture in particular.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then we can't then throw our hands in the air and say the problem is too big that we shouldn't even start somewhere. And that is why we are saying, let's be systematic about how we approach these allegations, because at the moment there are allegations. No one has ever been arrested on. And I know that there are cases that we can refer back to where individuals have been arrested for such crimes. But in this current problem that we are facing, no one has actually been implicated, and there's no evidence that's been laid. And that's why we are saying maybe the starting point towards rooting out the corruption, especially in Gauteng at least, is to appoint a proper company that can do a process that is thorough, that is transparent. And that company should also be appointed in a transparent way.
So let's get back to the sort of one of the underlying causes here, and that is obviously this issue around the backlog. So where are we with the backlog? What was the, and I know, I'm sure that this is the one issue that you've been talking about a hell of a lot, but what was the cause of the backlog, and how are we working our way through that particular backlog? Because to be honest with you, it is a bit of a frustrating situation. Just getting a license disc for your vehicle is you know, it's a Herculean task. No matter what time of day you get there, the queues are long, let alone trying to go there on a Saturday. You're probably not going to get service because, again, the queues are long, et cetera, et cetera. So what are some of these issues that how are we going to be able to deal with these issues and try to get through the process?
Well, the first solution was to implement fully now the online booking system, so that we manage the queues and we manage expectation as well. Because we do understand that even before COVID-19, as you say, the DLTCs, unfortunately, because of demand, were overwhelmed. And sometimes because of weaknesses in our own system as well, you would find that people were queuing for a long time, some of them going back home without being serviced. So we then opted to fully launch the online system. So we, if you want to book for renewals, you will have to go online and book. That then allows us to schedule you and give you a slot, and you don't have to queue up at the DLTC.
And then we talk about driver's license renewals, the renewal that you have to do every 5 years for your driver's license.
That's the starting point. And the aim, and MEC Mamabolo is on record saying this, the aim is really to clean up the system. And that's why the forensic investigation becomes very important. And that's why also cleaning up the system in terms of making it more efficient and bringing capacity where it's needed. So for now, we're starting with the driving license card and the professional driving permit. That's where we're starting. But the aim really is to expand what we are doing now, and I'm about to expand on what we are doing now. In terms of capacity, what we've done is that from the 1st of February 2021, we will introduce mobile units to just augment the capacity, because we know there's a capacity problem at our DLTC. So the LEU machines where you do your eye test and your biometrics, sometimes they're offline. We do understand that. To augment that, then we will introduce 4 electric buses that will be on standby to be deployed anywhere in Gauteng, depending on demand, because we do understand that we are dealing with a problem of demand. And COVID-19 and the shutdown, the lockdown, it didn't help us with the problem that we were sitting with already. So it just made the problem worse than it was. For instance, just to give you an example and a picture of what I'm talking about, in November, we were sitting with about 300,000 in backlogs. And with the work that we've done and the capacity that we've shifted towards dealing with the renewals, more specifically, we've been able to knock that backlog to about just under 200,000. And additionally to that, what we are doing with the Gautrain, we are going to introduce kiosks at all the Gautrain stations, except for the airport, obviously, to allow people to book and renew their driver's licenses. That is talking to capacity, because we've noticed that part of our problem is that with COVID-19, it being a reality now, sometimes we have to shut down a DLTC unexpectedly because someone, is not well. So with the mobile units and the Gautrain capacity that they're bringing in, we think that we will now avail the slot. And the frustrations that you've been seeing with online booking, because there's been a lot of pushback with the online booking system. And it was simply because the slots, the booking slots themselves, were not available because of the demand. So what we are doing now, we are availing as much slots as possible to the public so that it's not government that prevents you from regularizing your driving license card.
You see, what worries me also is in an era of a need for social distancing, with the backlog in place, with so many people requiring their driver's licenses, et cetera, et cetera, the biggest problem that you then sit with is capacity and being able to get those people through. I mean, in a non-COVID era, I guess you could have just increased capacity. I don't know how you would have done it. Maybe, I don't know, tell your workers to work overtime, maybe get more people in through the door and longer queues and that type of stuff. But now that's not possible. So, you know, is that having an impact in how quickly you guys are able to get through with this process?
It was one of our problems when we started with the recovery process. What we've done together with the Road Traffic Management Corporation is that from Thursday last week, people, for instance, who would have expired, who had had their license cards expire in September, those would have received SMSs reminding them, one, your license has expired, but also directing them to a slot. So saying that, according to the information we have, you live in this area and your license has expired. We are availing this slot on this date. Go regularize that slot within 7 days, and then that helps us now manage the queues so that we don't have too many people packing up a DLTC. So the online system, in a way, and technology, is really helping us to avoid people gathering in numbers. And that is why we are really emphasizing to people that if you can, just please book online and make sure that you don't go to the DLTC, because that's a big risk in a COVID era. And with the kiosks that we are introducing and the mobile DLTCs that we are introducing, what they will allow for people who don't have, for instance, internet or data, they can go to that mobile unit and book, and then they will get a date. So with the booking system, the online booking system, it allows us as a department to then stagger the numbers so that we don't have too many people packing up the DLTC itself. And that's very important in making sure that we don't also contribute now to the spread of COVID-19, when we are being told that there shouldn't be gatherings, people shouldn't gather in big numbers.
No, for sure. And I mean, hopefully that's part of the issue. But I mean, is there any allowances for people then at this stage who have been caught up in this particular process, who have been severely impacted by the by this particular backlog, people who aren't able to get the booking in good enough time, so that, you know, in essence, you find yourself driving with a license that has expired? Is there any form of amnesty for a period for people, at this time?
Absolutely. The deadline, the original deadline for people to regularize their driving license card was the 31st of January 2021. And the minister was so graceful that he then extended the validity until the 31st of August 2021, which then allows for people who would have expired, especially in that period of COVID-19, to renew their driver's licenses. But what we are saying is that even though the extension has been granted to us, people shouldn't sit at home and wait for late 2021 for them to renew. They mustn't wait for August. They mustn't also wait for July. We must regularize our license card right now, so that we avoid creating another backlog later in 2021. Also, there's another problem, Gershaw, which we've seen now with the recovery plan, is that we issue these. We just issue the slots out to everyone. Everyone can just grab them. But the big problem is that we've seen in November, for instance, about 50,000 people didn't show up, didn't pitch up to register. And that is going to give us serious problems. And that's why we are opting for SMSs, just to remind people, because we do understand that people want to comply with the law. And that's why we're also introducing capacity, but they should make sure that they honor their appointments and make sure that they renew while there's still time. Because what will happen if people, if everyone...
What will happen if everyone, Theo?
If everyone stays away and waits for August, we are going to be dealing with the same problem that we're dealing with today.
No, for sure. Definitely. And Theo, two things that I want to cover with you. I see there's a couple of calls coming in very quickly. 011-883-0702 if you have a quick question. 021-446-0567. That's if you have a question for Theo Nkonki. I see Giani from Dobsonville on the line. But very briefly, where does that leave people with, not necessarily, if my driver's license is still valid and I don't have a particular issue in that space, what about my license disc? And you know, that in itself could also be a serious concern. Is there any form of amnesty? Are people expected to renew despite the fact that there also seems to be an issue there? Is there a backlog at all?
Absolutely not. With the license disc, we are not experiencing what we are experiencing with driving license cards. Anyone whose license disc validity has expired, they need to urgently renew. With license disc, at least you are given a grace period of about 21 days.
Yeah.
So with those ones, we don't have issues, and those ones are able to walk into the center as well.
Okay, 100%. Let's quickly go to Giani in Dobsonville. Giani, how's it?
Yeah, it's actually Tiani.
Oh, Tiani. Okay, yes.
Okay, the gentleman is saying that with regard to the renewal of license digs, it's not a problem. It is a challenge. I went to, personally today, I'm talking about myself. I went to Langlang just to do a simple thing, renewal of disc. I failed because it's full. I had to go to, what is this place called? Bedford View, where there is the drive-through thing, Gershon. The thing is, the service is very poor, to be honest with you. These guys, they will tell you that they went to lunch. You have to wait from 12 to 1. Why can't they? I mean, they know that they've got backlog. Why can't they do something to say to speed up the process? If those guys who are at lunch, get something the other people to work then. Because, I mean, right. They know that they are under pressure.
I mean, the lunch thing is a pet peeve of mine as well. I hear what you're saying.
Shop. This is felicitating. Okay, then.
Okay, Kiani. Thanks so much, man.
Cheers, man.
All the best. That was Kiani from Dobsonville in Soweto. Unfortunately, that's something, Theo, that it might not be. Again, it's anecdotal. We don't necessarily have the evidence. Like we haven't done a survey, but I mean, I can guarantee you that the lunch, I need, people taking lunch is a serious pet peeve of mine as well. And I'm not saying people aren't allowed to take lunch, but generally speaking, especially in a service space where you're behind a glass window and you have to either, take people's money or transact with them, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Usually people do that in shifts. You know, I don't see the bank where everyone behind the counter decides to take lunch at the exact same time. People take it in shifts and so on and so forth. But these are some of the things that people have to deal with. And the other favorite of ours, Theo, and I don't know how often this actually does happen, but it seems that you probably have one of the most unreliable IT systems in the history of humanity. Because usually at about 3 o'clock you hear that the system is on offline, That's it.
Part of the process that MSN Mobile is introducing with the mobile system, it is deliberately to deal with the culture problems. You would know that what Deanne was talking about is not only isolated to only DLTCs. You see people complain about the same at Home Affairs and other places. So that culture change with the mobile units that we're introducing, we want to address precisely that, how people work and the decorum and the way they carry themselves at work. We are trying to address that. We know it's a real problem. It's not perceived. It's a real problem that really impact on service delivery, and we are really doing our best to try and deal with it.
100%. Very quickly, because I have to go now. I'm out of time. Where can people go to make their bookings? What numbers do they dial? What websites do they refer to? What apps do they download?
So they must go to onlinenatives.gov.za. We encourage everyone to go through the online booking system. That will help us also avoid the queues at the DLTCs. But also, again, Gershwin, if I may, just remind your listeners, if you get a slot, please make sure that you take advantage of it. We really have a system that is really struggling. The demand is quite high. And as you know, the slots are not as available as one would want them. So we really urge people to book while there's still time. They mustn't wait for August 31.
100%. Thank you so much, Theo. I was Theo Nkonki, spokesperson for the Department of Transport in Gauteng.